I want to talk to you for a few moments from the subject, you've been set up to break through. You've been set up to break through. Just so that we all are on the same page, I want to talk about this word breakthrough. This is a word that you will hear me use a lot in sermons. The word breakthrough means a significant and dramatic overcoming of a perceived obstacle, allowing the completion of a process. In other words, you are being set up to become an overcomer. You are being set up to be victorious. You are being set up to be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, who loves us. We as Christians often face many challenges along life's journey. When we examine the trials and tribulations in our lives, it almost seems as if we are set up to fail. Setting up to fail is a phrase denoting a no-win situation, designed in such a way that the person in that situation cannot succeed at the task which they have been assigned. It is also considered a form of workplace bullying. Being set up to fail in the workplace is so prevalent that two authors wrote a book called The Setup to Fail Syndrome: How Good Managers Cause Great People to Fail. This book provides critical insights and solutions for managers and employees who are trapped in such a dynamic or want to avoid falling into. I've come to comfort you this morning and let you know that the stuff you are going through might look like you have been set up for failure, but I'm here to let you know, people of God, that it is a setup to break through. The financial crises in your life, it's a setup to break through. The disappointments in your life, it's a setup to break through. The sickness in your life, it's a setup to break through. Whatever it is that you're facing in your life on this day, I'm here to tell you, it's a setup for a breakthrough. So how do I make sure that my setup for breakthrough does not eventually turn into a setup for failure? Before we examine the text, let me go back and set the scene for you. Elijah was a prophet of God who was sent to King Ahab to tell him that Israel was going to be punished because of its great wickedness. Through the influence of Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, Israel had started worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth and some of the other heathen gods. So as a punishment, God said he was going to make it stop raining. And that's exactly what happened. For 3.5 years, it did not rain. Can you imagine 3 years without rain? Now, Ahab and his wife Jezebel didn't take too kindly to Elijah's words. They sent out search teams to find Elijah so that they could have him killed. But God protected Elijah by hiding him by the brook Cherith, feeding him with bread brought to him by the ravens. But after months and months of no rain, even the brook was drying up. Elijah had to go somewhere else, and that brings us to our text. For it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Now, Zarephath is an ironic place to be sent, for it is near the home city of Jezebel, and Zarephath was considered the heart of Baal territory. It was often believed that the gods were territorial. If this were true, then Elijah is taking a huge risk by moving to Zarephath. Secondly, God was sending him to live with a poor widow woman in a famine and drought-parched land. And this poor widow was going to be his support. That was bad enough, but she was a Gentile, and that posed even more problems. Zarephath means smelting shop, a workshop for the refining and smelting of metals. And it would be here at Zarephath that the faith of Elijah, the widow, and her son would undergo some fiery trials in God's refinement of their faith. That brings me to our first point. Your setup for breakthrough will often look like a setup for failure. As we noted earlier, just before our text, Elijah was living by a stream and ravens brought food to him. We can see from this that Elijah has nothing. He has no system of support other than what God provides for him. Then the stream dries up. The water is gone because of the drought. Now God tells him to go down to Zarephath, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. God then informs him that a widow will give him food. This shows the desperate situation for Elijah. He has to rely on a widow for food. There's nothing wrong with widows, but the fact is, in that day, they were among the poorest of poor. Tradition says that this widow of Zarephath was only around 20 years old. She had a young son that she dedicated her life to. She lived a very meager existence, struggling day by day, not just to make ends meet, but just to survive. Every morning she would walk about gathering sticks for fires. For 3.5 years there had been no rain. The ground was hard and cracked. There was no harvest in the fields where she could have gleaned from what was left from harvesters. I wonder how many nights she went to bed crying out in her heart, where will I find the food for us to survive another day? Their setup for a breakthrough looks like a setup for failure. Many of us today are facing situations that seem to be destined for failure. That's why the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. We must trust God wholeheartedly. That's what Elijah did. For the text says that Elijah got up and went to Zarephath, and as God has instructed him, surely Elijah wondered how a widow could provide him. However, He didn't mumble or complain or even question God. He got up and went. My second point is obedience is better than sacrifice. When God speaks, we must step out on faith and obey him. Obedience to God is the pathway to your breakthrough. We need to obey like Elijah. When God says, go to church, give the best of your time, your talents and treasures, take off sin and immortality and put on Christ, or even if God tells us something that does not make sense, we need not make excuses. We need not complain. We need not question. We need to just do it. Even more than sacrifice, God wants obedience. But when there is a sacrifice that must take place in order to be obedient, the blessings are multiplied beyond your ability to contain it. It's a setup to a breakthrough. The text goes on to say, when he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. And she was going to bring it, but he called to her and he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she says, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as I have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make a meal for yourself and your son. For thus the son, says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not empty, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that was spoken by Elijah. So now let us focus on the widow woman for a minute. During the days of Elijah, it was not easy to be a widow. Now you have to understand that this young woman had just one child, and the child was very small. She had a very tragic life and had lost her husband at an early age, which was not all that unusual in those days. There were no savings accounts or life insurance policies to take care of her after her husband died. Here's a woman who had given up. She tells Elijah that she believes that God lives, but then she says that she has given up on all hope. I know the widow woman assumed that she was destined for failure. So she planned to go home and eat the rest of her food and her son with her son and then die. She believes in God, but doesn't have the will to go on. That's what can happen to us when we see our situations as circumstances that won't allow us to get ahead. These stumbling blocks are heading straight down the path of failure. We allow depression to get in, and then we lose our faith in God to work the situation out. And now we have just turned our setup for breakthrough into a setup for failure. Oh, but thank God for Jesus. It always seems that when we are at the end of our ropes, that God gives us a promise to hold on to. To say that widow was at the end of her rope would be an incredible understatement. She was tired and worn out from the stresses of life. God, however, in God's perfect timing, brings two people together. Elijah needs food. The widow needs food, but she also, more importantly, needs hope. As the story goes on, when she prepared this little cake and Elijah sat down to eat it, there was enough to go around for all three of them. The next day she looked and there was a little more cornmeal in her bowl and there was a little more oil and she thought she remembered using it all up. Now here it is, we have more. So she used it and she makes another little cake and the three of them eat, and then day by day by day, God continued to provide for them. Hallelujah. God is a way maker. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're going through. You got to put your trust in God. God will make a way somehow, some way. God will make a way for us. For over 2 years, Elijah and the widow were fed on that basis. Can you imagine? Over 2 years, when she thought she was going to make a little bit of bread and for her and her son, and they were going to die. But every day she went in and there was a little bit more. For 2 years. The text states, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be empty and the jug of oil will not fail until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, for many days, the jar of meal was not empty. Neither did the jug of oil fail. According to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah, obedience is better than sacrifice. Point number three, God will lead you to somebody not only so you can be blessed, but to help bring them into their destiny, into their breakthrough. You never know who God will use to help you to your breakthrough. So you need to be careful of how you receive others who come into your life. Be careful how you treat others. Be careful how you talk about others. Be careful how you roll your eyes at others. Be careful how you criticize others, because they just might be on divine assignment in your life to help you to get to your breakthrough. Please understand that anybody that always comes into your life always looking to take and not to give is not from God. Anybody who always shows up trying to see what you can offer them instead of showing up to tell you what they can help you fulfill is not from God. I don't want people who are always trying to drain me of what I have. I need some people who can introduce me into the person I am intended to be. Somebody that will help me to get to my breakthrough. Hallelujah. I don't need anyone that's going to dwell on my shortcomings. My final point: making sure that your setup for breakthrough does not end up as a setup for failure is to remain prayerful. In order for Elijah to hear from God, to obey God, and to trust God, he had to be in communication with God. Prayer is both a communication link with God and a powerful strategic weapon. Prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. In many years living as a Christian, I've learned that prayer can change things. I've learned that prayer can change circumstances. Prayer can change situation. Prayer can change people. Prayer can open doors that no man can close. Prayer can close doors that no man can open. Prayer can move insurmountable mountains. And a friend shared with me that not only can prayer change things, but prayer has mathematical benefits. Watch this. Prayer adds God's anointing to your situation. Prayer subtracts Satan's strength. Prayer divides the devil's army. And prayer multiplies the mercies of God in your life. So you need to learn how to pray every day. You should start every assignment with prayer. You should start every project with prayer. You should start every meeting with prayer. You should start your relationship with prayer. That's why we get into the wrong relationship, because we don't talk to God about the relationship. But start every relationship with prayer. Pray with will give you power for the project. Prayer will give meaning to the meeting. Prayer will give reason to the relationship. You should pray because the Bible declares we ought to pray. You ought to pray because Jesus commands it. You ought to pray because Paul urges it. You ought to pray because the early church practiced it. You ought to pray because history confirms it. You ought to pray because reason endorses it. You ought to pray because the devil hates it. You ought to pray because God loves it. You ought to pray because you need it. Amen. Start every day with prayer. We are commanded to pray without ceasing. We must learn how to pray with power. And when we prevail in prayer, Satan is defeated. In closing, we have seen the poverty of the widow and Elijah. It was a situation that looked like it was a setup for failure. We have seen the promises of God delivered through his servant Elijah. We have seen the provision of God to Elijah and the widow and her household. We see that God is faithful in providing for his people. We have seen a set up to break through, but we must be obedient to God's call. Because the widow was willing to obey God and give the first fruit of her labor to God's man, she, Elijah, and her son were able to survive the long drought and famine. God provided all they needed. The oil would refill and the grain would multiply after every meal. God's power to provide for our needs is not limited by what we see, only by what we can believe and by the obedience and faith we put in him. There is a story that I've read that brings to life what I am saying, and I want you to just dwell on this and we will go. The following letter was found in a baking powder can wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long and seldom used trail across Nevada's desert. This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it, and it ought to last 5 years. But the washer dries out, and the pump has to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun and corked end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about 1/4 of the water into the pump and let it soak to wet the leather washer. Then pour into the rest of the water, but not too fast, and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry, so have faith. When you get all the water you need, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next traveler, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't drink the water first. Prime the pump with it, and you'll get all you can hold. If you drink it first, you will not live to see the next water hole. What would have happened if Elijah didn't go to Zarephath and disobeyed God? What would have happened if the widow had disobeyed the prophet's command? Elijah would have never had the encounter with the widow, and she would have died, never having experienced the great miracle, wonder-working power of God. It may seem that we struggle and fight and toil and we make no headway. Yes, life gets frustrating sometimes. But you must remember that God has great things in store for you. When you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like God has forgotten you, when the stress of life is too much to bear, when you feel like you're being set up to fail, you have to remember that God is with us. All we have to do is listen and obey Him. So be encouraged this morning, because when we have God on our side, we are being set up to break through. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. God, we thank you for letting us know that we're being set up to break through, that we need to obey and listen and hear your voice. We need to establish that relationship with you so that you will lead and guide us. So, God, we know that all of our hope, all of our trust is in you. You are a God that you shall not lie. And we believe that all things are working together for our good according to your purpose. So we thank you, Father, right now for letting us know that that situation that we're going through is just a setup to break through. Touch your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.